Welcome to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Sessions podcast. Sergi, how goes it?
It's going. I'm here.
Lovely.
Present.
That's great. Ready to pour some batchy
as always. Ready, as always.
This was an unusually low dose because I took the bottom of the bag, all that I had left, which there was already not a whole lot left, but we'll see how this turned out.
It's like lukewarm again.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
But it was brewed a while ago, so.
10 minutes. Not that bad.
Smells are kind of interesting.
I think this coffee is just fine.
Just fine?
Yeah, it's fine.
Anything you're tasting out of it?
It's like fairly creamy. It's got this very, very low acidity, but it's not juicy. I wouldn't say it's juicy. So,
do you think maybe that was partly due to the brew quality or no?
No, I don't. This batch is fairly dialed on this one.
Interesting.
Yeah. What was actually your recipe? How much coffee did you put
in? It's 1 to 16 and a half with a 33-gram dose, I think.
Oh, that's not bad. So,
pretty small, but we are using the cone attachment, which I think acts a little more like a big-size pour-over.
Mm-hmm.
So that it helps a little bit rather than, I think it'd be worse if we just put it in the big basket.
Yeah, it'd be so thin.
Yeah.
That would be so thin.
But... Yeah, I think it's solid. Mm-hmm. I think it has decent acidity. Actually, I don't think it has zero acidity.
No, I said medium acidity. Mm-hmm. It's not high in acidity.
Medium. I'll take. There's a little bit of like fruit, a little bit of like lemony, or I don't know, some acidity. But yeah, there's not a whole lot going on. It's not super wild.
No, it's like a little bit of tropical fruit.
Yeah,
it's not super vibrant. I don't know if that is a brew thing.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's not super vibrant of a coffee, but
yeah, I think my pour overs have been a little better of this coffee. Mm. But I also wouldn't say that this is a wild coffee. It's solid.
Yeah.
Which nothing against solid coffees, but
yeah.
For those listening, this is a coffee from Subtext out of, I think, Montreal or Toronto, one of them.
Nice.
So I've heard, I've had Subtext before.
Oh, nice.
Heard a handful of good things about them. Decided it was long overdue for a brew for them. So I picked up one of their Colombian coffees. I think this is also a pink bourbon.
Oh, nice.
Which, nothing like a good solid pink bourbon.
For sure. So, well, did you pick it up at Revolver?
Man. It was either Revolver or Propaganda. I don't know. No, it was Revolver. It was Revolver, okay. Yes.
That makes
sense. I remember. Yeah, Revolver has a pretty spanking option right now.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been in a Revolver in a while. Well, last time I was in Canada was before Brewers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a minute.
Yeah.
But... yeah, solid brew. We literally, just as we are getting started to launch the podcast for this episode, where are they? I lost my samples.
We got some by the speaker.
Got some fun little samples, mm-hmm. which I'm very excited about. Fingers crossed, this might be a really spanking coffee coming soon.
Oh, is that one of those fancy varietal coffees? Like,
yes, it's gotcha. A few. There's a Chorizo in there.
Chorizo.
There's a PB.
Sounds like
some geishas.
Dude, sounds like prodigals menu. I mean, I've never seen.
Sounds like a solid menu. No. That's all. Not dude, prodigals.
Who
menu.
Else?
What do you mean?
Who else serves Chorizo?
No, there's been. I think Luna has had a Chorizo.
Oh, nice.
I mean, Kyle has had a Chorizo. I think maybe I'm wrong from September.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen them around.
Seen
so
yeah, I've never.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, the only Chorizo I see is the one on bar at Narrative from Prodigal.
I can't. Something about the name of Chorizo just makes me think like Chorizo. And I'm like, no, I don't want any. Please, I don't know anything about that.
I'm probably
that.
Pronouncing it wrong too.
I'm like, so it's either Chorizo. Is it Chorizo or
like the meat?
Yeah. If it's Chorizo and
something like that,
or it's churro.
Like the dessert
churro.
Yeah, dude, I could F with some churros.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah. I could the churro in a coffee. Yeah. I'll take nice little cinnamon, brown sugar, pastry. It's tasty. Sure. I don't know about the other one. So.
They just have to be fresh, dude.
I will say I just came back from Brazil.
Dude, I would like to ask listeners if they've ever had a churro that was like just sat out for a while.
Oh gosh. Like,
you don't want a day old churro. Quote me.
No. I don't know if any day old pastries.
A chocolate chip cookie? A brownie?
Okay, never
properly
mind.
Properly rested.
I spoke too soon. So some day old slap. Yeah. Some day old slap. But yeah, I just got back from Brazil and they were telling me how I need to get a churro. One of their chewers because they were fire, but I never got the chance to. Now I'm upset.
Dude, like, missing out. Maybe
a quick little rip back for a little churro.
Dude.
Alrighty, folks. Yeah, that being said, we have hopefully some tasty coffees, some fresh Colombians landing on the way. So keep an eye out for that. There's also a lot of things that will be moving around and shifting around Mir, which maybe we might do a dedicated podcast to. I don't know. We'll see.
Some moving and shaking.
So lots of interesting stuff coming. But that being said, we are not opening up a coffee shop. That is not nice. What's going to be happening. Segue. However, I always get asked why we don't open up a coffee shop or when we're going to open. Like literally, that is a question I hear all the time, nonstop. And there are many reasons why we wouldn't or we would. But that's not necessarily what we're going to be talking about today, but kind of related because, one of your friends just asked about, you know, we have a roasting company, but are we thinking about starting a coffee shop and, what that would look like? I don't know what else was that?
Yeah. Basically the question was like, what's your opinion on open up a cafe? Because there's another podcast episode that we talk about consulting and we've consulted for other roasting companies. Right. We've consulted for cafes. We just recently did a big one in Chicago and Soloway Coffee in Lincoln Park that we worked with for a while and still working with. So with that said, we are big fans of cafes. Like we want to see cafes be open. So that's a very big deal for us as a roasting company. And then, and also like from a consulting point of view, I love consulting. I think it's a lot of fun to be able to, share like wisdom and things that I've learned in working in coffee. Of course, there's a lot of consultants. Like right now, I feel like that's the new big thing is how to become a consultant. I don't think you and I ever tried to become a consultant. People just reached out and said, hey, like, we would love to have your opinion, your time, and we know your time is valuable. Like, would you actually consult for us? And I usually always ask the question, like, why? Right. Like, what made you want to reach out to me and say, hey, would you consult for me? And usually we find some good folks that we both jive with, folks that both I kind of look, not look up to, but I'm like, yeah, you know, you're pretty cool. Like, I would love to work with you. And then folks looking at us and be like, yeah, those are the type of people like we want to be connected with.
For sure.
So with all of that said, I think my opinion, and I'm going to speak for me and we can, you know, and I talk about these opinions. Like my opinion is I want to see more cafes open up, but the caveat is I want to make sure that all of these cafes that are popping up are sustainable and are have like a long-term vision and have a way to achieve their goals without just saying, hey, I'm going to pop open a door, flip around the open sign and hope people walk in and hopefully my product is like, I want people to do the research, the homework, set themselves up for success and then be like, okay, I'm going to invest into this long-term. Those are the type of cafes I want to see pop up. And I also want to discourage people from just opening up a cafe because they want to make some money. There's so many other ways to make some money. Don't do it by opening up a cafe.
Yes. Don't do it.
Yeah.
podcast over.
There's so many other ways to make money. Trust me.
No. I 100%
agree. And so many legal ways to make money.
Right. Yes, indeed. Yeah, I think we're in a, like, especially economically, and I'm going to quote, I don't remember who said this, but it's like never a good time to start a bad business, and it's always a good time to start a, and there's never a, wait, what the heck did I just mess that up. Well, the point what I was getting was there's never a bad time to start a good business. And so if you're good at what you do and you kind of understand the business landscape a little bit, yes, go for it. It's going to be hard regardless, but you know, if you kind of know what you're doing, it's going to be a little easier for you than for somebody who's just starting fresh off, you know, off of nothing. And we're also in a time where I think it's like there's a lot of competition, especially in the cafe landscape. There's a cafe everywhere. That's not the case everywhere, because there are probably some towns out there that literally have no cafes, and a population of 25,000 people, zero cafes. That might be a good, you know, might not be a bad idea. But then that comes with its own challenges. So there's really like not really a one size fits all as to whether or not one should open up a cafe, one should not. There's a lot of variables at play. It's not an easy game to play. Like I said, like if you're good at running a business, you'll be fine. You'll figure it out. And if you're not, it's going to be very stressful. There's going to be a lot of, you know, bridges burned, a lot of things done wrong. There's going to be some failures, you know, and it's not going to be a great experience. That's right. So, yeah.
And my buddy actually worked in coffee, or the buddy, like loosely. I know the person who reached out to me, and they've worked in coffee. Yeah. So I know that they have an idea of what the industry looks like. So that's a good thing, because you and I always say, like, hey, if you've never worked a day behind bar, or if you have not worked in the industry, don't start a cafe. And sure. I think some people listening to this, like, wait, are there people like that? And you would be surprised. There's so many people that just kind of idolize and romanticize this idea of, I'm going to open up a cafe, without ever working in food and bev. So I think that's a big thing. And then one, you and I have also thrown around the idea of, you know, what would Mir look like if Mir had a drive through, right? 100%. So there's these other ideas that when it comes to us as a roasting company looking to serve people from like a front facing way and not necessarily an e-commerce way, there's ideas that intrigue us. Mm-hmm. And literally we haven't pulled the trigger on things like that, because one of the things that we absolutely love is that we have the ability as a roasting company to connect with other cafes.
Yeah.
And that's an awesome thing. Like that's through like wholesale clients, wholesale partners. That's an amazing thing for us, because now we've broadened our reach to be able to connect with anyone who already wants to open up a cafe and say, hey, there's a lot of things you need to do. We hope that good coffee is not something that you need to worry about. We got you, you know, plus this, plus that, plus how can we help you with other facets of opening a cafe?
And there's plenty of work to be done just from a roasting standpoint.
Right.
Like roasting is not an easy game to play. Mm-hmm. Actually recently, either Scott or somebody else posted this, and I was just nodding because I was like, yes, that makes a lot of sense. They were saying how, usually cafes that are multi-roasters or serving somebody else, when they switch to their being their own roaster, quality usually drops.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of sense because the luxury of just being a cafe and being like, hey, I don't like your coffee, so I'm not going to serve it. And then go find exactly the roaster that roasts the way you like, sources the way you like. You can literally fine tune, and you don't have to, like, you don't have to put in the work to make that happen. Yeah. And guess what? You stop liking their coffee, you just move on to the next roaster. Yeah. And you get, guess how many coffee roasters? Yeah. Infinite. Yeah. You can choose from anywhere in the world. And that is something that I honestly don't think that is talked about enough, because it's always this thing of like, oh yeah, like you either want to be a roaster because you want to save money. Mm-hmm. Like, why am I going to pay somebody else to roast my coffee if I can do it for myself? But it's like, Whoa, I mean, you're going to save a little bit of money and spend a lot of money and energy and resources to maintain a high quality standard where at that point it's kind of diminishing returns. Of course, I'm not talking about like if you're thinking, oh man, but over 15 years and if you start wholesaling.
I get it. That's a different story.
Yeah. But then that just means like, yeah, you're kind of starting a second like branch of your you're just kind of starting a second business. Kind of makes sense, but like that it's gonna take a lot of work and resources to upkeep it. But yeah, like that all being said though, I do think that I would love to open up a cafe at some point. I was literally just talking to somebody this morning about starting a cafe, and I was like, yeah, there was actually a couple opportunities in the last couple of years that I kind of wish we pulled the trigger on.
And it would have been a different world if we did. I'll be honest. I'm glad we didn't.
I wish we did.
I'm glad we didn't.
Why are you glad? This would be great. Yeah. Because why are you glad we didn't?
Because, like you said, running a roasting company is as hard as it is. You and I, we don't have any employees.
Yeah.
We don't. And I've managed and helped open up a few cafes, let's just say. Okay. And to be able to run a roasting company where you have to source green, roast the coffee, do an outstanding job, cup, like we've kind of like are dialed in at this point. Like we have sort of a system. We have consistent roast days we're not traveling. Like, you know, we're kind of even the little things like setting up a cupping is much easier than it was 2 years ago. 100%. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so to a degree, we're way more dialed now than we ever were. And we grew into that.
Yeah.
Imagine, like you said, dialing in a whole different facet of a coffee business.
Yeah.
A front-facing one. Like, you and I have to deal with guests. We do, because we still serve people, right? We email people. We manage accounts. We talk to our wholesale partners.
100%.
But imagine it's someone that walks in and sees you face-to-face, day-to-day. And if it's not you, it's someone you brought on the team. Now you have to manage that employee to be able to. The intricacies and the dynamic of running a cafe, and if we would have kicked it off at that point in time, in that stage of our life, it would have been a tough road. And I think there's an easier way to do that.
That's fair. That's very fair. I would argue is that I think there were some opportunities that we had access to that were very golden opportunities. We're doing the same thing now or in the next few years is going to just make things a little more challenging. And it's opportunities that probably we may not be thinking about the same ones.
I mean, but we got too many.
Post pod will.
Yeah.
And what I do think would be cool is that it would have given us an opportunity for you to keep doing the stuff that you really like to do and put you in a position that I think you thrive and you do well in, especially the cafe environment. And I think it would give some very interesting growth opportunities for Mir that we don't have because we don't have a space, because we don't have a storefront, because there's a lot of perks that come with that. You get... Yeah. Very much so local community, like exposure. Mm-hmm. You get to connect with people. Like, there's plenty of people that reach out to us are like, hey, can I just stop? Like, literally, we got a DM 2 days ago, and some guy was like, hey, I have a buddy coming up to Bellingham. Can he stop by the cafe? And I'm like,
yeah,
we don't have one. I'm sorry. Like, yeah. And that's like such a, it's a bummer. Mm-hmm. It's a lost connection that I wish we had.
Just need to pull the trigger on the little vending machine.
Oh, that's true. That's something also in the works, but for another day. So but that being said, like, I think there are some other really cool things that could have happened.
Yeah.
That could have kind of expedited and put us in a place where sometimes when you're a little uncomfortable, you actually think faster and, you know, like contrary to popular opinion, I think sometimes having your back against the wall is like the best position you can be at. Like somebody told me the other day, because I was talking about this with somebody, that like a rat with nowhere to go, or a rat backed up against the wall, or gosh, I'm totally butchering. Yeah. This is so bad. Anyways, the point was to say like, that's a very dangerous person or thing to deal with when they have nothing to lose and your back's against the wall. Yeah. And there's a fire.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like some of my like, and this might not be the healthiest way to deal with it, but like some of my times where I've accomplished at max capacity, mm-hmm. where I'm like, whoa, I didn't expect myself to push through this, mm-hmm. and do it really well and just rip, has been when I'm like the house is gonna burn.
Yeah.
Totally. And you need to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like you jump off the plane and like you're like figuring out how to deploy a parachute.
Yeah.
And not that, again, I don't know why we're going down this rabbit trail. We'll bring it back.
Yeah.
But I think not that you should be opening up a cafe with that.
Yeah.
That mindset. But I don't think that's something always to be feared of. Sometimes it's not a bad place to be.
Yeah. Fair. I also don't think that all kind of pressure is bad pressure.
I think there's
good pressure that, you know, creates a different kind of energy. I think a lot of the times the danger of that is being like ungrounded and mm-hmm. then not having a solid foundation to work off. And if you're not grounded in your decision makings, if you don't have a set of ideals that you're like, hey, this is kind of what I want to build in or and within, then you will make any decision that kind of works. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we could have also said at that point in time, could have also said, hey, we're going to sell Mir.
Yeah.
When people offered to buy it.
Right.
And I think that would have been a bad decision.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, a lot of the times, like different kinds of pressure can produce different kinds of results, and not all kinds of pressure is actually very healthy. Yes. So I would say, like, one, if you remain grounded and you can take that pressure, then you will be able to channel that pressure into a direction that is actually very positive. Mm-hmm. But if you are not, then you will make any decision that looks good in the time being.
That
can be dangerous. I mean, can you score right? You can score right even on that, in that context.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very valid. Yeah. And I think a lot of things, like, I think in business sometimes, whether or not you should start something or not, there's not really a clear cut direction really. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I hear a lot of stories. And sometimes you hear a story that is like, that was not supposed to work. But dang,
right.
You made it work. It blew up. Now you're doing exceptionally. And in other times, which is the stories that you don't hear, like for every one of those stories, there's probably hundreds and thousands mm-hmm. of stories where the person went for it. And it just crashed and burned. Yeah. And it was not a fun experience. And not that it was the end of the world, but it just wasn't a very enjoyable experience.
Yeah.
So
totally.
That being said, I don't know. What are your thoughts about starting a cafe in say the near future or in the next 5 years?
For us as Mir?
Sure. Yeah.
Again, we've said this over and over again, like not until there's an idea that I truly feel innovative about, mm-hmm. you know, I don't just want to start another brick and mortar. I would be happier with finding a wholesale client that we can truly partner for the long run, mm-hmm. have some form of investment with a partner that says like, hey, like I want to run the storefront stuff. Like I'll be honest, personally, I'm not going to work in the storefront the rest of my life.
Right.
That's just not the reality. Even if you look at my schedule this year, I split 50-50 between behind the scenes and on bar. Mm-hmm. Like there was a person that came into the cafe today and saw me and they're like, wait, were you gone for 2 weeks? Like I haven't seen you for 2 weeks. And mm-hmm. I was like, no, I was here.
Interesting.
Yeah. So like I'm not my role in the cafe is very much different now than it was 4 years ago. Mm-hmm.
It was also very much, it's very different than when Maxwell asked me to help open up Narrative Bellingham, and I was working as a, you know, painter and doing right. construction. So like, there's so many different facets of opening up and running a cafe
right.
that I don't necessarily think that, when I think about it, I don't necessarily think it's the best way. The thing that energizes me is like, hey, let's just open up a brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. I would love to see something like that happen. That would be fun.
Yeah.
It would be fun. Like, I'm not saying that's never going to happen. I think it would be fun, but I wish there was a different idea, a much more innovative idea, like a more of a collaborative idea. Like, I think I would be more intrigued about starting a bar that has a coffee program in the morning. Mm-hmm. But starting a bar, so that would, or starting a like a high end, like spirits and wine thing, that has a coffee program, or partnering with a like a wine and liquor things that has a coffee program. So more of a collaborative effort. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking also from a business perspective. I think there's a lot of decisions that you can make that don't require a lot of expenses, but you have profits and agreements mm-hmm. from a business perspective that I think would be beneficial. But just opening up a cafe with a few tables and chairs and an espresso machine, I don't know. It would have to be something special.
Mm. Yeah. Well, cool. I don't know. Is there anything else that we want to touch upon before we land this plane here?
No, I think one, referring to that message on Instagram, yeah. I'd say Danny, like, one, he wants to open up a cafe. And just to recap everything we've said, it's like, one, I think from a roasting, or from a someone who owns a roasting company, I would highly encourage that. Yes, open up a cafe, yeah. especially knowing that you've worked in coffee. But two, I would say before you open up a cafe, make sure you think of how can you create your cafe to be a sustainable model that lasts in the community, that lasts for your employees, and who can you partner with? So that's strictly from a roaster's perspective and owning a roasting company. And that's also why I'm like, dude, if you open up a cafe, holler at your boys for some coffee, you know, we'll hook you up.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the thing. So it's a yes, and a very careful yes.
I thought you said you wouldn't.
What?
I thought you said you wouldn't want to start a cafe.
Me as a human, and we're owning a roasting company. Yeah. I would love to partner. Like I said, like that's how I would start a cafe, is by partnering with someone like Danny.
Fair enough. Alrighty, folks. Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Up Sessions podcast. This was delightful, enjoyable conversation. We're always open to hearing some feedback about our episodes, so feel free to shoot us an email or comment down below. But that all being said, thank you once again, and as we always say, remember, reflect what's good.